Hello everyone and welcome to the Startup Dunedin podcast. I'm here today with Anna Gunther, the chief bubble blower of PledgeMe. Anna, welcome to the show.
Kia ora, Angus, thanks for having me.
No worries at all. Now, first question, I had to ask this. What does chief bubble blower mean and how did that title come about?
Well, I guess when you start your own company, you're allowed to call yourself whatever you want.
Sure.
And when there's only two of you, it seems a bit wanky to have very big titles. So, yeah, when we first started PledgeMe, our logo is and was and still is a bubble. And we launched with a bubble-blowing flash mob. So I just thought Chief Bubble Blower made sense. And it stuck. And I think, actually, it's probably one of the hills I'm going to die on because I don't ever really want to lose it. But my lawyers do refuse to put it on any official legal opinions. They think that blowing bubbles in the financial markets might not be the best look.
Of course.
But apart from them, yeah, most people get it.
So what do they put down in that box if it's not bubble blower?
Founder.
Okay.
Yeah, or managing director.
Okay. Mm. Awesome. Yeah. So PledgeMe, obviously quite a few of the listeners will know of it, but when you were first starting it out, you would have had to pitch the company quite a lot. Do you mind giving us an elevator pitch of what PledgeMe is and what you guys do?
Yeah, so PledgeMe is a crowdfunding platform. Our goal is to help people fund the things they care about. Crowdfunding is the idea that you go out to your crowd and ask for funding, set a goal of how much money you want to raise, a deadline which you want to raise it by, and you offer something in return. And PledgeMe offers three different types of crowdfunding, sort of rewards-based, which is where you offer the thing that you're making, equity-based, where you're offering shares in your company, and lending-based, where you're actually borrowing money from your crowd and repaying it at an interest rate you set.
Okay, right. Really interesting. So was there a particular aha moment or moment of frustration where you came up with the idea for PledgeMe? Were you trying to fund something yourself or how did it come about?
Yeah, no, it was really I thought I'd hit my peak working a government job. And decided in order to get to that next level, I'd either have to go and work for a private company or do a master's. And I decided, perhaps dumbly, to do both. So I came to do a master's of entrepreneurship at Otago. Mm-hmm. And our thesis, as you probably know, is you're supposed to do everything but start a company. So do a feasibility analysis, a business plan, and all of that. And yeah, when I was trying to pick a topic, I just saw what was happening internationally with crowdfunding, and I got really excited. I couldn't find anyone doing anything here in that space then. And I found a guy who's building a back end. We decided to work together.
Like a back end for
a crowdfunding platform.
Yeah, oh,
wow. Yeah.
Serendipitous.
So he was working on it and he actually ended up launching something after a wee while, which was PledgeMe's first sort of iteration. So even before I came in, it was already sort of started. But we decided to work together. And yeah, I think people often ask why was crowdfunding interesting? And for me, it was one of my jobs when I first started was grants administration. And it just seemed really dumb that a 23-year-old was deciding whether a company should get money or not. Why would a 23-year-old know anything about that? But B, why would anyone in government be able to make a better decision than the community that cares about that company?
Sure.
So, yeah, crowdfunding just made sense.
Awesome. Hmm. Awesome. So there's obviously a lot of different crowdfunding options now for people that are looking at crowdfunding. You've got the likes of Snowball Effect. You've got the likes of Kickstarter. How would you describe why PledgeMe is different and what your niche is in that crowdfunding arena?
Yeah, so crowdfunding is definitely a crowded market. I think there's thousands of crowdfunding platforms internationally. Mm. And, you know, the likes of Kickstarter, I would argue it's the granddaddy of crowdfunding. Like, they've been doing it for so long and doing it really well. But really, they're sort of the mass market approach. So they provide a platform, but very little hands-on support. Whereas what we do is, you know, we really get behind the campaigners and the companies that come through us and support them through the creation of their campaigns. So our point of difference is that, but it's also, we're not offering you a crowd in the cloud. We're helping you figure out how to activate your own crowd. And the reason we think that's so important is because if you're activating your own crowd, they're with you for a different reason. They're with you because they want you to succeed rather than make a big financial return or just get the product you're making. So when shit doesn't go to plan, which is always the way, they're there with you. And so that's really different from a lot of people who are either building investor pools or just, you know, making all these things happen and supporting innovation. We're just like, actually, we just want to support people.
And was that always the mentality from the start? Did you guys always have that in mind as your unique value proposition, or was this kind of something different in the beginning?
It was always our value proposition, but we've just gotten better at articulating it, which I think is after 7 years of talking and thinking, you get better at explaining things, or sometimes not. But yeah, like our mission statement is to help people fund the things they care about. And that took us 3 years to write. So yeah, poor university students being forced to create these pitches in like a semester. I'm like, oh gosh, I wouldn't have been able to do that.
So let's touch on that. What was your experience like with Audacious when you were coming through? It's obviously a little bit different now in terms of how the program's run, but what was that like? How'd you get involved?
Yeah, so I mean, we were forced to do it, no offense. But as part of the master's program, they made us pitch into Audacious. And I think I had to do it twice because I was a very bad master's student and took way longer than everyone else to finish because I ended up getting a few jobs overseas. But I ended up having to do it twice, and both times I failed. Once with a random idea, and once actually with Pledge Me.
With Pledge Me? Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I pitched Pledge Me in and didn't get anywhere with it. But I think often it is like pitching an idea is very different from delivering an idea. And often delivering an idea just takes a very long time. But yeah, I'm one of many of my friends that pitched into university competitions and didn't win. So I think I'm amongst good company.
Yeah, definitely. And you shouldn't stop after those first setbacks, right?
Yeah.
You're a bit of a testament to that.
Yeah, and I used to call it stubbornness, but someone made me reframe it recently to determination. But I think that that's one of the biggest things for entrepreneurship is actually, or starting any business, is being determined enough to keep on going when stuff doesn't go the way you want it to go, because it's never going to go the way you think it's going to go. It always takes longer and ends up being different, but totally. Just have to keep going.
Have there been, other than obviously Audacious, have there been other moments of frustration where things haven't necessarily been going how you thought they would with Pledge Me, but you've had to persevere?
All the time. It's a constant. Like, often your best weeks are also your worst weeks because something great is happening and something horrible is happening at the same time. But, you know, we've experienced everything from our transaction provider deciding crowdfunding was illegal and shutting us down with no notice when we had a whole cohort of successful campaigns that we couldn't process the funding for, which actually was an amazing moment as well because, you know, this horrible thing happened. But we managed to communicate it in a way to our crowd that they started going out to bat for us and like creating memes and calling banks, canceling their cards with the banks that were part of this scheme and pitching to media. And we ended up getting turned back on after, I think it was just over 24 hours because, the transaction provider came to us and they were like, please, can you stop the media from calling us now? And we were like, well, it's your fault. There's a whole group of Christchurch choir boys that are not going to get their funding to go to wherever it was that they were going. And they were like, okay, we'll figure out how to get this back on again.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. But, you know, like it would have been a really easy point in time. And in fact, my co-founder at the time, you know, he was like, I think we're done. Like, this is us. If we can't process funding, there's no reason to go ahead. And I was just a little bit more determined. And I was like, nah, we're just going to communicate, figure out a different way of getting the money through. You know, it's not over. It could easily have been over then.
It could have easily been over then. That's amazing. That's such a cool story. And it's a good thing that it wasn't over then. PledgeMe's helped raise something like $30 million.
It's over $30 million now.
Over $30 million. Yeah. Is that New Zealand dollars as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
For a whole lot of different people from a whole lot of different backgrounds. I heard you say last night, I think about 10% of which has gone into Otago as well, which is really cool. We've obviously seen a few people in our community get funding, the likes of Cafe Logic, which was a startup that came through one of our programs.
Oh, awesome.
Obviously, Ocho Chocolate that came out of the Cadbury situation down here. Are there some common trends or common things that people that are looking to raise do that end up helping them get that raise over the line? Do the people that are successful kind of have some things in common?
Yeah. So, I mean, we say there's three elements to a successful campaign, the three C's. The first one is a good campaign, so you really know how the money is going to be spent and what you need to do. The second is a good crowd, so you know you have people that really care about what you're doing, either because they're your customers or because they're your friends. And then the third C is good comms, so you're able to communicate this great campaign to the crowd that loves you. And if you've got those three elements, you're almost definitely going to make it. And we've seen, actually, even if you just have two of those elements, you might make it. But you really need to focus on all of them.
Awesome. And are there, I guess, the flip side of that question, with people that aren't successful, their kind of common mistakes that they make when they go into crowdfunding?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest mistakes is thinking that crowdfunding is a silver bullet. A lot of people come into it thinking it's an easy way to raise money, and it can be easy, but it's typically easy because you spent so much time building your crowd and building your company, building your campaign, that when you finally go out to ask, you've already done all of the work.
Yeah, okay.
But a lot of people just think it's this easy thing that you can do, or they think that you build it and a crowd will come.
Classic.
Yeah, and there's really no crowd in the cloud, people. Like, they're not just waiting to give you money. They might give you money if you communicate well, but there's no crowd in the cloud.
Interesting. So how would you describe your typical customer? Are there any kind of interesting exceptions to that, and who usually jumps onto crowdfunding on PledgeMe?
It's so varied. You know, we've had everything from an 18-year-old... raise. We actually had the world's youngest equity crowdfunder with Andy Griffiths, who was 19 at the time. Awesome. He was the world's youngest.
What was he raising for?
Actually, Dunedin Boy. He was raising money for his company that he started when he was in high school, which is called Parent Interviews. And it's a web app that matches parents to teachers to book in their interview times.
Ah, awesome.
Yeah. And he started it at high school because his mom was a teacher, and she really struggled booking in these interviews, and he decided to build something for her and then started selling it to more schools. And when he wanted to raise money, he realized that, you know, not many banks would lend money to a 19-year-old, and not many investors really would back a 19-year-old at that stage.
Totally.
So, yeah, he went out to his crowd, and he was pretty prolific on Twitter. Some of the best technical minds in New Zealand followed him. And so when he went out to raise money, he had the founder of Vend invest. Oh, he had awesome. All these people, some of the early employees of Xero, and people here in Dunedin as well. And the thing that I love about Indy is he was so articulate. And he ended up getting, I call it trolled, but he ended up having one of his competitors ask some really not great questions on his campaign page, and they were very leading and not very professional.
Okay.
And Indy responded so well, he actually had people invest in his company based on how he responded to the trolls.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know many 19-year-olds. I don't know anyone who could respond to trolls the way he did, but it just showed, you know, like, age doesn't really matter when you're building a company. It's just the way you respond to things. And
Totally. Mm. Totally. And I think that's kind of a strength of crowdfunding, right?
Yeah.
Where you've got a story like that, where he's not able to get funding through angels or VCs, he's not able to get, you know, backed by a bank, so he becomes this underdog story, and then that fuels his story on a platform like PledgeMe, right?
Yeah, it does, definitely. And I think we're still trying to frame this well after 7 years, but, you know, the ones that do successfully through us, partially it's they're excluded from the traditional ways of raising funding.
Mm-hmm.
But it's partially that they don't want those traditional ways of raising funding. You know, they want the crowd, and they understand the benefit of having a community. So really, crowdfunding is just a new way of including everyone in funding.
So do you guys ever reject applications for people that come on to crowdfund on PledgeMe?
So yes and no.
Okay.
We don't want to become the new gatekeepers. We don't want to be the people in the ivory tower deciding who should get funding or not.
Totally.
So from a general sense, we don't decide. We want the crowd to decide.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely circumstances where we have rejected campaigns, specifically when it's things like hate speech or something that is illegal. We know that that is not a vase, it is a bong. And you probably can't offer that as a reward on your campaign. But yeah, we have a neo-Nazi wanting to raise money for their t-shirt company, which we rejected. So yeah, for the most part, we don't decide, but there's definitely times when we would take a stance.
Totally, totally. I like that you guys stay true to that, though, not becoming the new gatekeepers. And the fact that you've described that in your story of being that gatekeeper at one stage and then going out to solve that problem, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's this thing, like, the gatekeepers often don't know any better than the people that are consuming the product. Like, really, the people that love it probably know it better than some person in a room with a spreadsheet gets it. And there's a role for someone with a spreadsheet understanding things and providing support, but they shouldn't be the ones deciding.
They shouldn't be the decision makers. Yeah. Awesome. So what's the, do you know the fastest campaign that's been raised on PledgeMe? Has there been one that's filled very quickly? Or?
We've had a bunch of really quick campaigns. Our first campaign was actually for ourselves, and we raised our goal in 23 hours.
Wow.
By the time we had our launch party, we were at our minimum goal, and by the time the party ended, we were at our maximum goal, because I was way too tired on the Monday night when we launched to actually like have a party, so we did it the next day. But our second campaign through us, they raised $500,000 in half an hour. That was for Yeasty Boys, a craft beer company who...
Did you say $500,000 in half an hour?
Yeah, yeah. So that was, wow. Yeah, and it was amazing because Stu is possibly the loveliest person you'll ever meet. But he, again, you know, they didn't own a brewery. So traditional investors and banks didn't really see what they were investing in. But his crowd loved him.
Yeah,
and
okay.
It was funny when we were first getting ready to launch Pledge Me Equity generally. I told him that one of the biggest bits of feedback we had from more traditional investors is this sort of, you know, why would people come to you? They want smart money, not dumb money. And I told Stu this. I was like, oh, everyone's calling it dumb money. And he's like, it's not dumb money. It's love money. People are investing because they care. And yeah, when he went out, he had everyone from his next door neighbor invest through to his distributors in Hong Kong. And they just really loved what he was making and loved him. But yeah, he called his campaign the Love Money Campaign.
Yeah. I love it. That's so cool. Yeah. It is a fantastic way to validate an idea and see if people love it as well.
It's not even validation. It's just like it's strengthening the thing that you're already doing. It's like backing you to that next level, like growing what you've already started. Yeah. And he definitely grew. Like it was the whole plan was he was raising money to launch into the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing an amazing job with his team around that. Unfortunately, it meant he moved to the UK. So I have a lot of people that are very unhappy that they invested in a company and their friend then went overseas.
Friend's gone.
I've had a few people tell me off.
So when you're talking to people about Pledge Me and you're talking to people about crowdfunding, is there any really typical or stereotypical questions that people end up asking you, or something like a misconception that someone might have about how crowdfunding works?
One of the misconceptions, and I think this is because of the way the government positioned the legislation both here and overseas, is it's for startups. And I guess it really depends on how you term startups. But what we've seen is it works best for companies that are already going. You know, they've already started, they have revenue, they have customers that love them, and they're going out to raise that next level of funding to get to the next part of their growth plan.
Okay.
And, but yeah, often people think it is that thing where you get that first amount of money through equity crowdfunding, and it's not the case. That said, project-based crowdfunding, like the Kickstarters of the world and the rewards-based stuff that we do, that's a great way to validate. That's a great way to see if people want to buy it straight up before you make it.
I think that's where Cafe Logic had a lot of success here in Dunedin, was that they had this great idea for that personal at-home coffee roaster and just really needed to make sure people actually wanted to pay for the thing before they spent all that money manufacturing it, which is a really interesting story.
Yeah, and I mean, I was telling you before, but that's what we did with our cheese company. So me and a bunch of friends accidentally bought a .com and decided that and before we made a company, we should see if people would actually buy a monthly cheese subscription box. And so we said we'd only do it if we raised $18,000. And we did. We raised $20,000, I think, in the end. And our first 3 months, we sent out over 100 boxes of cheese around the country. And yeah, it was just a great way to see if we should start it before putting the money out to buy the big new refrigerator for all the cheese, and you know, like there's the things that you want to know if you should buy before you buy it, and so it's a good way to test and see if people want something.
That's so cool.
A lot of work to get there as well. Like you have to have done the branding and the sort of
market
planning.
Positioning and all that sort of stuff. Totally. So you're almost going to be a serial entrepreneur now. Would you consider yourself that with this new company that you're starting?
I'm not sure. I just accidentally start things, and it's not always companies. Sometimes it's other things like unconferences and all of that. But I like starting things. I'm also really clear that I'm not always the best person to maintain things, so it's figuring out how to bring people in once you get to the point.
Sure. And so what's your role in this new cheese company? It's called Cheese Cartel, is that right?
Yeah, cheesecartel.com, because we got the .com. It's actually really interesting because I started it with a bunch of friends, and we all have our own companies. So yeah, all of us have started companies in the past. So I'm mainly in charge of sort of the comms side of things and the customer engagement. But yeah, we all have our own little roles and we overlap quite a bit as well. But it's really lovely starting a company with a bunch of people that have started companies in the past, because you can be really direct and honest and just, you know, if something's not working, you can raise it. And if something's working really well, like it's just, yeah, it's fun.
Awesome. Mm. So there's obviously a few learnings that you're taking from having started Pledge Me into Cheese Cartel. If you could go back in time and you could give yourself some advice, I mean, you'd obviously do a whole lot of stuff if you go back in time, but if you go back in time and you could give yourself some advice about starting Pledge Me again, is there anything that you'd change or anything that you'd do differently?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, hey, because, you know, going back in time, even if you change something, you don't know if the outcome would have been better or not, because you don't know what would happen if you changed that thing that you did the first time around. But I think one of the things that I've learned in starting a few things now is only start companies with people that you want to hang out with, you know, like, because you're going to be in the trenches with them for a very long time building a thing. And if you're not values aligned, it's not worth it.
Mm.
So that's why I'm so excited about Cheese Cartels, because I already know I love all these people. Three of the women that I started it with, we've been doing a group called the Female Founders Group for the past 4 years. So every quarter we go away, we hang out for a weekend, we eat cheese, and we help each other with our businesses.
Yeah.
So we know each other super well because we've seen each other go through the best and the worst times of starting a business or an organization. So, I know I want to hang out with them for the next 5 years because I've already done that for the last. And so I think that would be the thing. The biggest learning for me is, you know, if you're going to be starting something that's going to be a long-term thing, you've got to do it with people that you really want to hang out with.
Yeah, totally. Mm. So that network of people that you're now starting Cheese Cartel with, how did that group come about? Did you guys all know each other before you started businesses, or did it come across kind of after you'd already started things?
No, so it was really interesting. It was, it was 4 years ago. I got a random email out of the blue from, from a woman who crowdfunded through us.
Cool.
But she wasn't part of that organization anymore. She was the CEO of Thank You Payroll. Lonnie Evans. Dunedin. Yeah, have you met her before?
I've met her before. We both spoke at a conference down here. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so she's great. And she just sent this email and she's like, me and another female founder, we were thinking we'd start this group. I've organized a batch just outside of Wellington. Would you come away for a weekend? And I really didn't know her very well at all. But I was just like, oh, it sounds like an interesting thing. And yeah, we've been doing it for 4 years. And the only thing is everyone who comes has to bring a problem or an opportunity they're working on.
Okay.
And then over the weekend, you try to help each other out. And I think that peer learning piece is one of the biggest things in business, is actually finding people that are going through similar things and learning from each other.
And that's often present, I think, in the early stages of a startup. If you're in an accelerator or you're in an incubator, you've got those peers around you. Did you find as Pledge Me progressed, was there a lull for you? Did you always kind of have that support around you?
I often joke that my superpower would probably be making friends. So I've always been really good at finding people who've either done it before or in the middle of doing it to get that sort of support and feedback. So it's never been a problem for me. But I think that's the thing that we need to get better at, is asking for that help or asking for those coffees when you're in the middle of doing it, not just when you're starting.
Yeah, totally. Even from a mental health perspective, it's so important. And I know that's a really hot topic this year, that in the entrepreneurship scene, there's obviously some issues that are happening there. So making sure that people have that support to know that other people are going through a similar thing and can rely on each other, I think is really important.
Yeah, rely on each other. Also understand, you know, everyone is going through their own things and you don't always know it. I remember one of the founders of Trade Me, Rowan Simpson, gave me this great advice when I first started, which I think he got from someone else, which was, can't compare your insides to other people's outsides. Everyone is going through their own stuff. And even if they're putting on this brave face to the world, which I think we need to change slightly as well, I don't think we should always be projecting that everything's great. But everyone's going through stuff. So knowing that and figuring out how government can support around that, I think is going to be a big thing over the next wee while. Like, how do we focus on supporting organizations that are scaling and the teams around that?
Definitely. I've got another sort of time travel-y sort of question.
Yeah, okay, time traveling.
So say you went back, say you didn't start Pledge Me. You hadn't met that group of friends, you're not doing Cheese Cartel.
Oh, God,
What do you think you would be working on right now if you hadn't gone through that journey with Pledge Me? Do you think you would have stayed on a similar path to what you were on or started something yourself?
I imagine, knowing my personality, I would have been starting something, but I'm not sure if I would have started something outside of government or if I would be trying to do something within government.
Sure.
I definitely loved my time in government, even if I got frustrated at the end. So I was working for New Zealand Trade Enterprise in New Zealand and internationally, and that would have been an amazing life, you know, just keep on traveling around the world, working on special events. So yeah, I'm not sure. I might still be in government.
Might still be in government. Cool. Well, I think that's just about all we have time for today.
Awesome.
And before we go, is there anything that you'd like to leave our audience with? You can plug, you can say go to cheesecartel.com, you can do absolutely anything. Is there a message that you want our audience to take forward with them?
I think my plug is probably more of a general plug of, I think the enterprises that we're all starting or supporting should be focusing on something bigger than just creating financial returns. So I think we're at a stage in our history where there's some really massive problems and issues that need to be solved. And I think in order to solve them, we're going to have to start creating more enterprises that focus on that, as well as creating sustainable organizations. So for me, that's the idea of social enterprise, where you create an enterprise that has a focus on something around the planet or people, but also has a sustainable revenue model. And I think that that's the future. And I think we all should be thinking about that more. And so my plug would be more people thinking about that, please, especially in academia. It'd be great if there was more research on that. So University of Otago, you know what I want you to do.
Awesome. Well, Anna, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Everybody at home, if you've enjoyed this episode, follow us on Facebook, follow us on YouTube, subscribe. We'll have new episodes coming out every fortnight. With amazing founders just like Anna. So Anna, thank you again, and thank you to everyone for tuning in to the Startup Dunedin podcast.
Thanks, everyone.